What if we were to enthusiastically praise God? That's the memory verse that the students learned this week. The translation up here is a little different than what's in your Bibles and what's in your Word. But at VBS camp this week, the students heard that verse nightly several times. And while they were a little toned down this morning than what they were throughout the week, hopefully you were able to get a little sense of, to share a little bit of their enthusiasm for God's Word. Again, I can't thank everybody enough for helping to make VBS camp a success this past week. But as I shared with you already this morning, as I would walk in here and look at that verse, the challenge that was left in my heart was, hey, we're teaching these young people this verse. We're telling them to enthusiastically praise the Lord our God. But what if you and I did that? What if you and I really in our hearts made a conscious effort and a conscious attempt to enthusiastically praise God to all that He has done for us and to all that He continues to do? And you might say, but Mac, you don't know what I'm going through right now. You don't know what I'm facing. And you know, in many cases that's true. But what if? What if we took those opportunities, even when things weren't going well? What if we took those opportunities when life was kind of at that crossroads moment and we needed some help and we needed some opportunities to get some insight on what we should do? What if we just really took time and we gave God the glory in spite of what was going on? Because I don't think any of us in here today could look back on our lives and say that there wasn't a time whenever God was there with us. And God did something great that should cause us to be able to praise Him. You see, praise isn't something that we should just do one time and then forget about it. Praise is something that should be ongoing. As David wrote here in Psalm 145, and you've seen a little bit of it already, praise is something that should happen forever and ever and ever. A little bit about this psalm, Psalm 145. It's the last psalm here as we get near to the end of the book of Psalms. It's the last one that's attributed to David. And Psalm 145, as I learned this week, it's an acrostic. And what that means is that Psalm 145, it follows the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and what we see here is there's 21 verses. Now, we're going to get back to why there's a missing letter here in a minute, but for the most part, what this psalm does is it follows the Hebrew alphabet and uses each of the letters except one. This psalm has been referred to as a psalm of God's majesty and love, or a psalm of praise. And we're going to see that throughout this psalm that David is going to offer up praise to God for what He has done. That word that we see there in verse 1, that word extol, it's not one that we use a lot in our vocabulary today. So what does it mean? It means to hold high. It means to esteem greatly. And as the verse was kind of translated for the children, the word that's used in the verse that you see up here on the stage is to be enthusiastic about our praise. David used the words extol. What is David enthusiastic about? What is he extolling God for? Warren Wiersbe says that David mentions all these attributes of God, and as we look through the verses, you're going to see them. They stick out. God's greatness, His grace, His goodness, compassion, glory, might, righteousness, kindness, providential care. Think about that list. Think about something that God has done for you. Maybe it's His grace. Maybe it's what He's given us that we didn't deserve. That should be something that we praise Him for. David does. Maybe it's providential care. Maybe it's one of those times when you were out on the road and you happened to come upon an accident scene that happened just a few minutes before, and then you remember that at home you got held up because you forgot something. You had to turn around and go back, and you think, if I would have been a few minutes ahead of myself, I might have been caught up in the midst of that too. Providential care. God is there for us. He provides for us. He watches over us. And that's something we ought to give Him praise for. But what if? What if our praise was truly enthusiastic? What if it was more than just, well, I thank God for? What if we really came into church on Sunday mornings and when Scott asked for a praise report or I did or whoever was up here opening worship, what if we really had an enthusiastic praise report every week? Would it make a difference? And you might say, well, it would just be one praise report, and how would that make a difference? But one of the things I want for us to think about this morning is, if we were more enthusiastic about our praise for the Lord God, it might actually get contagious. Now, not like a disease, but it might get contagious where, well, if this person shared a praise, well, then I can do that too, because sometimes I think we don't offer a praise because we're a little embarrassed. We don't want to speak up because we don't want to say something wrong. And, you know, if we're praising God, it doesn't matter how it's said. What matters is that it's said. As we look through this psalm this morning, I want to encourage you to think about enthusiastic praise. And I want to look at a couple of different ideas here. If we were to enthusiastically praise our God, generations would know who He is. David talks about that. If we were to enthusiastically praise our God, nations outside of our own would come to realize how important God has been to us in this nation and how important He should continue to be. We can't rely on other people to do that for us. We can't rely on the politicians to enthusiastically praise God. So we in the church need to be doing that. And I think we don't always do a good job of enthusiastically praising God. If we enthusiastically praise God, again, I think it would have an impact on other believers. And here's the other thing. As a saved believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, someday you're going to go to heaven. And when you go to heaven, guess what's going to happen in heaven? Every day, forever and ever and ever, it's going to be enthusiastic praise of the Lord Most High. And so what I'm going to say to you this morning is we ought to get in practice. Because we don't want to show up in heaven looking around like, what are these people up here doing? When we get to heaven, we ought to know how to enthusiastically praise the Lord our God. Now, we're going to know, but maybe we ought to practice a little bit here on earth. What if? What if we were to enthusiastically praise the Lord our God? Generations would know Him. Look with me at Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. The kids sang that a little while ago. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome works, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. I want you to take just a minute here this morning, and I want you to think about what causes you to be filled with enthusiasm. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's hunting or fishing. Some of you ladies like to quilt. Maybe it's quilting. I know that gets some enthusiasm in my house whenever we talk about quilt. Well, when somebody talks about quilting. But what is it that causes you to get enthusiastic? I mean, what is it that you know, we talk about people having a motor mouth sometimes. What is it that gets your mouth motoring? What is it that really gets you talking about things? Let me give you an example. When Noah was little, one of the things that I get excited about, one of the things that I have interest in is I have interest in sports. Well, you know what? I talked about that when Noah was a kid, and now I've created a monster. Because between September and February every year, the only thing that's on Sunday afternoons is football, all day long, and it drives my wife crazy. But it's something that I was excited about, and I shared it with Noah, and now he gets excited about it too. So I want you to think about, what is it that causes you to get excited? What is it that causes you to show enthusiasm? And now here's the challenge. What if it were praise? What if what we are passing on to the next generation, what if it was this enthusiastic praise for what God has done for us? Do you see where I'm going with this? Because the things that we talk about, they're the things that the next generation picks up on. And if we're talking about football, we're talking about quilting, we're talking about hunting bucks, and we're not praising God the way we should, that next generation isn't hearing that. And you know what? For as exciting as VBS camp was this week, 1 week of vacation Bible school is not all our kids need to hear about enthusiastic praise of the Lord. They need to hear that enthusiastic praise coming from God's people. That's worth an amen, Mac. They need to hear that coming from moms and dads and grandpas and grandpas. We need to be sharing what God has done for us. David said in verse 4, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Think about what God encouraged His people to do. As we go back into the book of Exodus and back into the book of Deuteronomy, God was encouraging His people, the parents, to pass along to one generation and the next all that He had done for them in the past. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 38. We're going to read a little bit about King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah, he really had fallen away from the Lord God. And Hezekiah was sick and he was going to die. And he turned back to God and God spared him. And look at what Hezekiah says, or Isaiah records Hezekiah's words in Isaiah 38 verse 19. The living man... Now, remember, Hezekiah was about to die, and God spared him, and he said, the living man, he shall praise you. He shall praise you as I do this day. This guy had every reason to be enthusiastic because he had a death sentence, but now he's alive, and he's going to live for a while, and he says, the living shall praise you as I do this day. You know, we don't often think about what it is we can praise God for, okay? Everybody do this with me. I'm looking to see if anybody fell over, okay? We got something to be thankful for. We got something to praise God for because we just took a breath and God gave us that breath to fill our lungs with. Hezekiah thought he was going to take one and not be able to exhale. He thought he was done for, and he said, the living, well, I need to praise you today. But look at what else he says there. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. What is it that this old bum of a king, Hezekiah, is saying to us? He's saying, God spared my life, and I'm going to praise Him for that. And I need to tell my children what God has done for me. If you have a life application study Bible, down in notes it says this: do you share with your children or other young people the excitement of your relationship with God? That happened this week at VBS. All across these church grounds, people were sharing their excitement for following the Lord God. But you know what? We've got to keep doing that. Because there's a generation that needs to hear about who Jesus is. And we can't just rely on 1 week of vacation Bible school to do that. We've got to do it at home. We've got to do it with people we come into contact with. And I'm telling you, young people's hearts, they're open to hearing truth. And we've got to be willing to share that with them. Look at what David said would be the result of that. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 there, David says this: they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and sing of your righteousness. Think about the memories that you still share from your childhood. Think about those stories that somebody told you, whether it was a family member or a neighbor, whatever it was, but think about those memories that you pass along to your kids about something that happened at work or something that happened on the playing field or whatever it was. Some of the stories that I've heard my dad tell, I've heard them told over and over and over again, but they stick. And there are stories that I tell to Noah and I tell to other people. Well, there was this time whenever my dad... What if we were enthusiastically praising the Lord? And what if those were the memories that were being passed along to the next generation and the next generation, the next generation? David says here, they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and sing of your righteousness. Church, we've got some work to do to train our minds to not be afraid to praise God for who He is. What do we want the next generation to tell the following generation? Do we want the next generation to tell them all of our complaints? Do we want the next generation to hear about all our grumpiness? Or do we want the next generation to enthusiastically praise the Lord as David said we should do? What if? What if we enthusiastically praise the Lord? Generations would come to know Him. Nations would come to know Him too. Look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. What causes our nation to be filled with enthusiasm? You might say, not much these days. Okay, I'll give you that. But there are things in our nation that causes us as people to get excited. The Olympics are coming up, and some people really get into the Olympics. I don't. But some people really get into the Olympics, and they want to see how American athletes stack up against everybody else. And when American athletes win one of the competitions, we're like, yeah, that shows them how great we are here in the United States. Sometimes we get excited about, you know, our military might and the things we're able to do as a nation because we're rich and we're powerful, although we're horrendously in debt right now. But we get excited about the fact that we're this nation that's been around for well over 200 years, and we get enthusiastic about that. Next week, we're going to celebrate July 4th. We're going to celebrate the birthday of our nation, and we get excited about that. But what if believers in this country got excited about sharing praise about what God has done for us as a church, what God has done for us as individuals, rather than everything else we talk about? I can't, and you know what? I tell you all the time, this message is as much for me as it is for you, because God's challenged me with this week. But what if we enthusiastically praised Him instead of complaining about everything that's wrong? There's so much we can't do anything about. But we certainly can control what comes out of our lips. And as Christians and as believers, I mean, we were teaching the kids this week, guys, hey, you need to be enthusiastic about your praise for God. So do we. We could have an impact on the next generation. We could have an impact on other nations as well. You know, we can't do much about the direction this country's going right now, but we can do something about what's coming out of our lips. We can do something about what's being said, what's being done in our homes. David said, look at through some of these verses in verse 9. David said, the Lord is good to all. David said that believers should speak of the glory of your kingdom. You know whose kingdom really matters? It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we get so wrapped up in the kingdom of this world, we really need to get wrapped up in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, His glory, His righteousness. David says in verse 12, make known to the sons of men. Oh, You know what? That's telling us again to enthusiastically praise Him, to tell other people about God's mighty acts, to tell other people about His glorious majesty. In verse 13, David talks about the fact that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, that God's dominion is enduring. I don't know what's going to happen to the United States of America, but God does. And I know this, I know that God's kingdom, as I said a minute ago, it's what matters because it's going to last. It's going to go on forever and ever. His dominion is going to endure in spite of what might happen around us. God's kingdom is going to last. Warren Wiersbe puts it this way. He said, "The glory and wonder of God's spiritual kingdom must be proclaimed from nation to nation as well as from house to house." That's one of those toe-tramping statements there, because it says that we need to talk about the glory and wonder of God's spiritual kingdom in our own homes, but then we need to spread it from nation to nation. Go with me to the book of Daniel. I know we spent a lot of time in Daniel a few weeks ago, but Daniel's one of those guys that, boy, I tell you what, I wish we could be like him. Now, remember, and I'll make this quick, but remember where Daniel was. Daniel was exiled from his home. He was ripped out of his home, and he was taken to a foreign land. He was taken to a foreign nation, and he's serving pagan kings. And remember, when he served those pagan kings, you know, he wasn't a jerk about it. He continued to follow the Lord God. And in chapter 4, verse 2, look at what Daniel does here. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's about to go crazy and go out and eat grass like the cows. I didn't make that up. It's in God's word. That's what he's about to do. And look at what Daniel says to him, verse 2. "I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me." What's he doing? He's about to share enthusiastic praise for what God's done for him. Verse 3, "How great are His signs and how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and His dominion is from generation to generation." That's almost word for word what we read there in David's psalm in Psalm 145, verse 13. You know, the old expression is, when in Rome, do as the Romans. But when Daniel was in Babylon, he said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "I'd like to enthusiastically share with you what the Lord God has done for me, and His kingdom will endure forever and ever." What if we as believers would enthusiastically praise the Lord our God? I really think that if we were to praise God the way that we should, that it would make it easier for other people to share praise too. Look at what David said here in 145, verse 14. And think about what we could praise God for. "The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy." Did you see the word that kept popping up over and over again? It was the word "all." What if we really praised God for all that He has done, for all that He is doing? As you look down through those verses, that word "all" just keeps coming up over and over again. God upholds all. God raises up all. The eyes of all look expectantly to Him. Have you ever looked expectantly to God? Have you ever been able to praise Him whenever He came through, when He answered that prayer of expectation? David said, "God is righteous in all His ways. He's gracious in all His works. He's near to all who love Him in truth. What if we as believers would just simply enthusiastically praise God for the things that He has done? Not just, well, thank you, Lord, but what if we said, I want to tell you what God's done for me this week. And part of the reason why we don't do that is because we think it's silly. It's just some little thing. But if God was in it, it ain't no little thing. And we ought to be willing to praise Him for it. We told the kids this week, guys, you need to learn this verse. I will enthusiastically praise the Lord God. But then we kind of back into our shell and we don't do it ourselves. David said that the Lord preserves all who love Him. He also used that word all kind of a negative connotation because he said He destroys all who are wicked. There's another reason why we need to talk about what God's done for us, because there's a world full of people out there that are lost. And they don't have any reason at all to praise God. And we ought to be willing to share just a little bit of our testimony. We can't save people. Only God can do that. But the story of our testimony, the story of our witness and what God's done for us, it can have an impact on people. And it can even have an impact on our fellow believers. Think about the impact that praise would have on generations to come, on other nations, on our fellow believers, if we would just do it. There's one last verse there in Psalm 145, and it's verse 21. And David says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever." As you look at that verse, the first part of the verse is another encouragement to be like David. David said that he would speak the praise of the Lord. He's done it pretty enthusiastically throughout this song. But then he goes on and he talks about how all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Church, we're not there yet, because not all flesh is praising His holy name. But we're going to get to that point. Now, just a quick word here. Remember when I started, I said this was an acrostic and it followed the Hebrew alphabet, and the Hebrew alphabet had 22 letters, and this only has 21 verses, and so there's a letter missing. And just in case you're wondering, the commentators say it's the letter N. But J. Vernon McGee says this. He raises an interesting question. He says, why would one verse be left out of Psalm 145? And McGee writes and says, I think it speaks to the fact that our praise is imperfect. And again, this message this morning is as much for me as it is for you. And I'm going to be the first to admit that I don't praise the Lord God nearly enough. And so our praise, it is imperfect. Now, we could cop out and we could say, well, see there, if our praise is imperfect, it doesn't matter how much we praise, it's never going to be perfect. Okay, we could settle for the easy way out, or we could try to improve. David's kind of set the standard, and what we need to do is we need to reach for that standard. David says he's going to praise the Lord God forever and ever, and that's what you and I need to be reaching toward. We need to be reaching toward praising the name of the Lord God forever and ever. McGee goes on, he finishes that statement, and he says you don't get all the hallelujahs until you get to the 19th chapter of Revelation. Go there with me, please. As you get into the 19th chapter of Revelation, you're going to see that praise that I'm talking about here. We need to practice praise now so that we can be better equipped future residents of heaven. So that when we get to heaven, praise isn't something new to us. It's something that we do. It's something that we have done. It's something that the generations are talking about long after you're gone. Do you remember how dad and mom, how pap and grandma, how they praise God for what they've done? Church, this is meant to be a challenge to us this morning. If we're going to tell the kids to do it, if it's up here in big bold letters, why can't we? You know, we're all the time saying we need to practice what we preach. Well, boy, here's one of those verses where we need to practice what we preach. In Psalm 19, verse 1, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Boy, there is praise. And it's enthusiastic praise for who God is. Verse 3, again they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. There the praise is because God has defeated Babylon. God has overcome the evil of the world. And that's where we get stuck today. We get stuck today about the evil that's in our world. And what do we want to do? We want to grump and complain about it. When what we ought to be doing is we ought to be praising God because He's going to overcome that someday. And if you're a saved believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's already overcame that in your life because He sent Jesus to you. You've got something to be enthusiastic about. Quit worrying about the evil of this world because God's going to overcome that someday. And that's what people in heaven are going to celebrate. And we need to be celebrating that now too. Verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Again, part of the reason why we're not praising the Lord God is because we're thinking about the temporal, we're thinking about the temporary, and we're forgetting about the fact that God is omnipotent, that He's all-powerful, that He rules and reigns over all these things. And in heaven, that's what people are going to be praising Him about. And we should too. What's stopping us? We've talked a little bit about that this morning. There's any number of things that stop us from enthusiastically praising the Lord our God. Part of it's age. I mean, you watch these guys up here. I mean, they're up here making motions and doing... I better quit doing that. But they're up here making motions and doing things, and they don't care. Why? Because they're praising God. But we get a little older, and what did I just say? I better stop doing that. I better stop making motion. We get a little older, and we get a little introverted. We get a little older, and we're like, well, I shouldn't do that. We get a little bit worried about what people are going to say. Now, I'm not talking about coming up here and running across the altar rail. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about getting excited about what God's done for you in your life. We get a little embarrassed because, well, people think that's stupid. If it matters to you, if you've seen God at work, tell somebody about it. And if they want to think it's stupid, that's on them. That's not on you. Because you're sharing what God's done in your life. David said, I will extol the Lord. I will praise His name forever and ever. I wonder what would happen if we really praised Him. We're all the time talking about what the church can do to have an impact in this world today. How about if we just start talking about what God's done for us and mean it? Instead of talking about the weather, talk about God in the weather. Boy, yesterday, I mean, at lunchtime, the clouds started to roll in. We had work to do in the fields, and we got it done. We didn't get any rain. What do? Thank the Lord. Well, that's a silly little thing, Matt. But you know what? It was important to me. And I believe that God, He gave us the opportunity to get that done. We're all the time wondering about how we can make a difference in the world. What if we just Quit complaining about the junk. And started talking about our praise for the Most High. What He has done. Because you've got a story about what He has done. But also looking ahead to what He will do. I don't know about you, but it was exciting to see these young people up here this morning. It was exciting to see the enthusiasm in their hearts. And I wonder what happens to ours that we lose that. Let's try to figure out ways this week. And when you come back next Sunday, we're going to have a time of praise to start off with. Let's think about something for next week that we can praise the Lord about. This verse won't be up here, so it's not going to challenge you when you walk in the door. But let's think about what we could do to really enthusiastically praise Him for all that He's done for us. David gives us a wonderful example in Psalm 145. The children were a challenge this morning. And I pray God's Word would speak to us this week so that that challenge continues to hit us. What if we enthusiastically praised Him? Heavenly Father, as always, we thank You for Your Word of truth. And Lord, I thank You for the attention of Your people. And Lord, I pray that those couple little words would just stick in our minds this week. What if we praised You? Lord, it's real easy for all of us to get wrapped up in all the negative and all the things that's going on around us. But Lord, help us to see Your mighty works, to see Your hand at work this week. There might be a lot of little things, but then there might be that one big thing where we just see You at work. And Lord, give us the ability to talk about it. We don't need to build a stage in the backyard and draw people in. Lord, just help us to talk about it with our families. Start there. And then to share it with others. Lord, again, I just want to thank You for these children this morning and their ability to praise You and just do it. And Lord, I pray that You might help us to just do it, to just praise You for who You are and what You've done. Lord, as always, we thank You for the challenge of Your Word. We pray that it might speak to us this week and that we would indeed see You at work. We pray and we ask these things in Your precious and holy name. Amen and amen.